I guess I'm used to the whole Coke Zero Sugar thing.
You're over it.
It still seems like a completely unnecessary change.
Honestly, I can't tell the difference.
There's not much of one. But, you know.
So Coke was right.
They weren't right. They just weren't wrong. They were just, like, doing things.
So it was marketed. You've been marketed.
Coca-Cola, do-do-do-do-do, just doing things. Oh, that's McDonald's. It could apply to McDonald's, too. Oh, we got a new burger. It's got a bit of sauce. Do-do-do-do-do, just doing things. Even sticks, I don't know. Honestly, that's Taco Bell. They're the ones who are always
doing. Yeah, they are the remix masters.
Oh, now we put the fried chicken in a quesadilla.
Call it fried chicken quesadilla.
Quick, are there any more Doritos flavors?
Taco.
Do-do-do-do-do. Just doing things. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel podcast for the, I guess we'll call this November 13th.
Yeah, tomorrow.
2017.
Hey, we're back.
Yeah, we've been kind of off for a bit.
Yeah, you know, travel, sickness, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, it's been a little crazy, but yeah, I was at BlizzCon last weekend. We'll talk about that a little bit. I just got an Xbox One X. You can talk about that. And, you know, playing our video games and things like that. I was also in Disneyland. So it was a fun time. Hey, this is me, Michael. Hey, Jay, how's it going?
What's up?
Not much. So, want to talk about BlizzCon?
Yeah, let's start there.
Yeah, it was fun, man. I was glad I finally got to go to that event.
I was insanely jealous.
Yeah, it was a good one for me to do. It's always weird to me that I never actually got to go before, but...
Yeah, well, it's always hard because it's on the West Coast.
Yeah, because I'm on the East and, you know...
Even like when we did PAX before, like, well, we could drive, you know?
Yeah, even if it was like a long drive, it was... A drive. Yeah, but yeah, this was really cool. I haven't been to a fan event really in a while. E3 was kind of one this year.
I mean, really proper fan event was probably PAX East 2011.
Yeah, it was the second one, whatever it was. Yeah,
2011.
Yeah, that was a while ago now. Yeah. 6 years, yeah. It was cool. No, it was still very accommodating for press, which was nice. Actually, their press room put E3's a shame. It was just like rows of tables. They gave us 3 hot meals a day and catering and a snack.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. They had like TVs that were just like showing some of the streams and stuff with little pounds. Oh, it was nice. It had a little separate room for the media, too, where you could play like all the demos, basically. So that was pretty nice.
Nice,
and,
nice.
Got to do interviews for the 4 big Blizzard games right now. There was Little Storm, World of Warcraft, Hearthstone, and Overwatch. So the Overwatch interview was really good. I got to talk with Jeff Kaplan.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so if you want to see that interview, that's on GamesBeat. They all are. So, but yeah, I think the Overwatch stuff especially was pretty cool. The new Blizzard World map was super neat to run around. It's funny because it's not just like all these Blizzard references, but it's kind of just like theme parky references. Like that, like there's like the one area where there's like a shark being hung up by its tail. It's just like that Jaws thing.
Yeah, which like I feel like. I read that in your interview, and I was like, man, I bet most people don't get that.
I remember that.
Yeah, right? That's great. That's like, they have like, details like that.
When I was just defending on the first Chocas Hanzo, like, the little perch I have is, like, basically by the Flight to Duskshire Dark Ride.
Yeah, you're on, like little griffins
going. Yeah, like, it was just kind of going through there. And I'm like, oh, this is delightful. So, yeah, that map's cool. And, the new hero, who apparently I say his name wrong. It's not Moira.
Moira.
Moi.
Yes,
moi.
Moi. Like, get your inner judge.
Oh, that's what that is. Yeah, Moira. She's really neat. She's on the PTR now.
It's great that we got a strong-looking support.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be so happy with this next patch, because I assume the patch she comes out in will probably next week will be the Mercy Nurse and Moira coming out.
So explain the Mercy Nerf.
So the big thing... So there's a cast time to her revive now.
And it's interruptible.
So, one thing, it doesn't immobilize her completely, but it slows her down by like 75%. So it becomes a big target if she does it. Basically, the idea is, like, if she's going to revive, like, they're in the middle of a team fight, she's probably not going to survive it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, yeah, it's interruptible now. So, yeah, thank God. This was kind of a rough patch for a while, like literally patch. But the Mercy being way too strong, even the Junkrat change I think made him too strong. It's manageable, but just in general I didn't like the patch very much. Mm. But yeah, I think it'll be a good thing. And they're also buffing Ana big, even putting her damage up a little bit. So yeah, because I mean, you know, there's very clearly a healer problem with the game where you only have these four healers, and like most matches you want two of them, and it's like, well, you're gonna have a Mercy,
right?
And Lucio and freaking Ana have kind of just been out of it for a bit.
Yeah, I mean Zenyatta at least can deal some damage, but his heal's not adequate.
Yeah, I mean Lucio will always be like just kind of useful on a control point because everyone's huddled together, but I don't know.
And especially he's always good on Ilios just because he can push so many people off.
Yeah, but yeah, Zenyatta's kind of in the favorite second healer just because the
damage is there. Yeah,
well, the damage in the it's not Harmony though. Discord orbs.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah, but yeah, so we played quite a few matches with the Myra on the thing. So that was really good. The Hearthstone expansion
looks so good.
Yeah, it's neat because it's not like what you can play there. It wasn't like just play some matches with the new cards. You've got to play that dungeon runs thing.
It's such a clever
thing. It's really
thing.
Neat. Yeah, it's super
just
fun.
Just to make a roguelike out of a card
game. It's like what it is. Like you pick one of the nine classes and just gives you like a kind of incomplete, weakish deck. Nothing crazy. And it's like your first match is against a giant rat, you know?
The RPG tropes.
Right. And although I think all the bosses are kind of random. There's like so many and you have to fight
eight. There are 48 potential bosses. And like, not all of them can be anywhere. Yeah. There's tiers to them, but yeah, it like randomizes it every time.
Right, that's cool. They're all kind of like those adventure bosses. They have their unique hero power, some unique cards and stuff.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's completely free, which is wild to me. I know if you beat it, you get a card back.
Is that
the only reward? Yeah, are you earning packs?
Maybe the criticism is, I guess maybe that's part of it being free. Like you don't get, you're not really earning much by playing this mode. I wonder if you can even complete quest doing it. I don't know. Maybe not. But yeah, that might be. That's kind of the thing is what you do beat with every class. There's not really a whole ton of reason to do it except just for fun.
Fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool because every time you win a match, you get to like. You have like a choice of three, like. It's either like a passive effect or like a special card you can put anything that's not like from any of like the actual expansion. It's like one of them was like a card that just passively increased all minions your death by 1/1.
Mm-hmm.
Another one made all the opponent's minions cost one more.
Was there like also one that like all your battle cries are triggered twice?
I didn't see
I think
that.
I heard about maybe. That
one. But then like that was after the first one. Then like the second time I won, it was more of like here's like three powerful spell cards. Pick which one you want. The one that's hilarious was like just cast Pyroblast at random targets until a hero dies.
That's so good.
That was hilarious.
It's cool because it is like let them do cards like that you just can't do in the game, right. But like here, whatever.
So you get that choice, and then you get a choice of like three bundles that each have like three cards in them, and they're kind of themed to each other, and you like pick one of those bundles to add to your deck. So like one might have like I don't know, like two Ice Lances and some other Freezy card, you know, kind of a thing. So there is like a deck building aspect to it, but it's very different.
It is. It does sound like you and Jeff talked about this in your show, but like it almost has some elements of a deck building game, like an Ascension or a Dominion. It's not fully there.
Yeah, I haven't really played those very much, so I don't know too much. I did play. What was the one? Boss Dungeon or whatever? Dungeon Boss. Did you ever play that?
You have. I never did play it.
So yeah, the Hearthstone stuff looks really cool. World of Warcraft was kind of hard to get a handle on.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
Remember, I was like, they will unify the factions.
Yeah, it was the complete opposite. Yeah, so we got the Battle for Azeroth. It looks like me and you are both kind of this way. Like, sometimes we don't really like the whole Horde versus Alliance thing. As like
in a weird way, and I think part of it is because the cinematic was so good. The cinematic is what made me be like, okay, let's do this. Like, let's go back to it. That could be fun. It's going to live or die, I think, by how good two elements of it are. That mode where it's like a 20-player cooperative thing where you're basically playing Warcraft 3.
Yeah.
If that works, that'll be cool. And that 3-player,
right,
like, PvE thing where you're the also going against, like, AI PvP opponents.
Yeah, so that was kind of the thing was, neither of those two modes were playable. Like, what you could play there...
Yeah, I feel like that sells it.
What you could play there was just a couple of the new dungeons and, two of the new areas.
The expected stuff.
Yeah, and when you're playing, it's fine, but you're playing World of Warcraft, you know? It's like, okay. And it's weird when you don't have, like, that big new... class to build it around, or even Draenor didn't have a class or race, but they kind of had like the garrison thing that they pushed a lot. There are kind of new races. It's kind of like a half measure.
Well, it's like these allied races. It is just like kind of reskins and slightly enhances the existing
some
ones.
Some of them are different. Like, the trolls stand up straight, right? So they, they're above reskins, but it's not like, oh, the Arakoa are race.
Yeah,
it's also kind of like, they start at level 20, which is, like, completely just so that
we
they
don't want a starting area.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, like, starting at level 20 isn't even that much of a boosting at the level 20, and like,
They went halfway to what I want. They are revamping the leveling experience at least a bit, where they're implementing the scaling technology,
right.
But it's still, like, there's still ranges, just bigger ranges.
Well, the ranges are good, but yeah, but it's the old quest, though. They
I know, and in one of the interviews I listened to on another podcast, they were asked, like,
yeah.
Would you ever cataclysm it again? And he seemed to be like, kind of like, no.
No, that was, I asked the same thing. My interview with them was going up. I think they kind of had this talk about, like, oh no, those cataclysm quests are really good. We would never need to do that. And I'm like, yeah, you kind of do. Like, look, they were good, but
it's just
bizarre because it's like
the story makes no sense now when you're leveling. Like, you're only going to take this allied race character, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, Deathwing's here, and then. It sounds like you now basically can pick between Outland and Northrend. But still, like, you're going to get to Northrend and be like, oh, the Lich King's a problem. Like, is he? I thought he was dead a long time ago.
I even get it with the experience, but it's like, since you did the Cataclysm thing once, like, you need to make some sort of more evergreen experience out of those original starting zones.
Yeah, I like, and we'll get to this in a second, but what I liked about original World of Warcraft was, like, the zones just had a story.
Yeah.
And that was it. It was kind of like their own self-contained things. They weren't... You know, I guess it's like the argument between, like, Star Trek Discovery and, like, Star Trek, where it's, you know, not serialized. And I think you're right, that would make leveling more fun if it was just, like...
I guess I was kind of hoping that, like, the expansion, if it wasn't going to do the old guys thing, I wanted, it would be kind of a Realm Reborn-ish, and that it was kind of just, like, a, like, new, like, era, and, like, it kind of brought things back more to, like, the roots of, like, a traditional MMO kind of, like,
world
experience.
Well, I mean, there had to be some change, because I don't know if you saw this. So, not only was that intro, the CG thing of Lordaeron being taken back by the Alliance, but they talk about how also the Horde burns Tel'Drassil, and we don't know which one happened first. So basically what they're creating is Kalimdor's Horde, Azeroth's Alliance, and the two continents are completely separate now. So, you know, some of that has to change.
But some of that is also kind of a product of, like, how, you know, each of these people used to have their own capital cities that no one ever used anyway, so it's not, like, a huge deal.
Right, just to get the Undercity just gone.
Yeah,
fine.
I mean, it's just gonna be, like, here's Orgrimmar, here's, Ironforge some cities, but, Stormwind. So, yeah, like, that'll be a little tricky. But that's, again, like, you have that happening. It almost seems like a good framework.
Yeah, just
I feel like it was on the table at some point, and they just didn't
do it.
And they had this kind of lame excuse for it. And I don't know. It seems like something that, especially because this expansion does seem a little light. It would have been something for,
I mean, there are six new zones. We don't know how big they are, I guess, I mean, compared five.
Just Legion, there was so much to immediately get excited about. There's, like, you had Demon Hunters. You had, like, this whole, the level scaling thing was new. You had the whole legendary weapon thing was new and interesting. A lot of that stuff, like, was clearly successful. Like, they're bringing back, like, the Mythic Keystones are coming back. Level scaling is coming back.
For sure.
They have, like, instead of, like, a the artifact weapon, you have, like, an necklace.
Amulet.
And there's some kind of progression with it I didn't quite understand.
It applies, effects to your armor slots, basically. But you can still change the armor. It applies to the slot, not the item itself.
Yeah. So just, what, flat, damage or armor?
I think it'll be similar to the artifacts now. I'm mixing up games in my head. I think if they showed what, like, the interface for it looks like, or if I'm thinking of something else.
They showed it. It was like a rear rotary thing.
Yes, okay, I am thinking of everything.
So, I don't know. It's just, it seems, I'm sure it can be good. It's just, at some point, there's got to be a big...
It almost seems like they didn't have enough to show yet, except, like, we have some zones.
Nope.
Which is, like, what you expect. I mean, like, they really didn't have that, like, big gee whiz thing, like you said, here's the new class.
Yeah.
I think that 20 players thing could be it, but I don't think
it's
ready
yet.
See,
but the fact that, I don't know, I think the fact that they're not talking of that much kind of tempers my expectations of what that is. I don't know. One reason why you maybe don't want to redo the whole original area is if World of Warcraft 2 is a thing. It is. You know, no matter how you shake it, it is like, what, a 13-year-old game now, right? I mean...
Yes.
At some point, you kind of have to just, like, rebuild it. I mean, yeah, so, I don't know. That and the fact that they're finally talking about classic servers. Like, I don't know why, so we're doing the presentation, the whole time I got, like, this vibe of, well, this is, like, one of the last expansions. And there's no real reason for that. I could be completely wrong. But there is a point where we have to do something, some kind of a reset, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Destiny did it after 2 years.
Heyo. But I did enjoy the way he announced the classic servers, because he was doing this whole ice cream thing. Yeah. It's like one of those things you're like, what's he doing? Wait a minute. Vanilla. Like, I was sitting in my office watching this stream, and I had that revelatory moment. Mm-hmm. And you could tell it was so like, look, let's just announce something, because we shut up all these people trying to run their own servers. Yeah. We'll figure something out. We have no idea what that is yet, but let's just say something. Mm-hmm. Will be cool.
It'll be neat. We all have our memories of World of Warcraft is so neat the first time we do it, because there's all this discovery to it and this kind of openness of it. And again, I think that having that Cataclysm rework was kind of hurt some of that.
It was like a short term cool thing, but in the long term, I think it didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they got to do it again.
They made the questing in the old world stuff too specific now. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yeah, World of Warcraft's got things going on. Heroes of Stormsea, two new characters, Honzo, Alexstrasza. I got to play both of them. They seem cool. I mean, I wasn't doing very good with either of them. Honzo's weird because the scatter arrow is based off the geometry of the levels, mm-hmm. but it's not flat surfaces, so it's kind of difficult. Yeah. If there's a round surface, it'll take almost time to find the perfect angle, and by that point you're dead.
It sounded like in your interview, they're still tweaking the map geometry to get that working, because they've never had to do it before.
Yeah.
Which is why he's probably not out yet.
Yeah.
I'm excited about both those characters.
The cool thing about Alexstrasza is when she could turn into a dragon, it's just her D ability.
Yeah, that's cool. That's not just an alt.
It's not her alt, so that was pretty neat. But yeah.
Does having the camera pulled back make a noticeable difference to you?
I didn't notice, really. Yeah. I mean, I don't play
it. I'm sure the people who do are oh my god, night and day!
The other big takeaway from the show was getting to watch a lot of these big esports things live, which was really neat.
Yeah, you watched the Overwatch in that sweet arena they set up.
Yeah, so the Overwatch, that arena is pretty much just it, as part of the convention center. They have an arena there with those seats. Handy. I don't know what normally happens there, because it's not big enough for basketball.
Gladiatorial combat to the death.
But yeah, it was really neat to watch the Overwatch. Of course, surprise, the South Koreans won. I think the South Koreans won everything.
Yeah, it's probably true.
But it was really neat. They had this one guy on their team called Flower who would play Widowmaker sometimes, just destroy, attack Widowmaker. It was really neat. Insane. But it was really interesting to watch him be part of all the excitement and everyone going nuts.
Well, this was the kind of the big debut for some of these new broadcasting features. Yeah, does it help?
It does, because the teams have uniform colors in the game,
which
now
is cool. But they can kind of make these on-the-fly skins.
Well, before they would just make the one team blue and red, and it was really hard to follow it, especially if you were in the perspective of the red team.
Yeah, because you're ingrained that red is the bad guy.
Yeah, so so it helped. Hearthstone stuff was fun to watch live too. They had kind of this weird format where they just had teams of streamers going against each other, and
was that the October all?
No, not that. It was the Invitational, spelled with two N's, in.
I get it.
So a dog. It was basically Dog's team versus Ray Dad's team.
Nice.
So it was super fun. But yeah.
So are we going to root for the, what's the Philadelphia Overwatch team today?
I mean, I don't know. They're not that close. I might just see which one's colors I like best.
I'll tell you, the Houston logo, the Outlaws, they have a sweet logo.
The England one's all aviation themes. The Spitfires?
Oh, you got to stay in the States at least.
Why?
USA, Mike.
No.
That's why.
So, but yeah, BlizzCon was super fun. We're doing Muse was pretty good. They played at the end. Mm-hmm. That was nice. So, yeah, just a really neat event to go to.
So, we don't have to stay on it too long, but what are some new things you got to do at Disneyland that were good?
The thing that I was really excited about was just checking out the new river stuff. So, going on the train was really neat. If you don't know, they had to redirect the Disneyland train to make room for Star Wars Land. And while they did that, when they rebuilt the track, they kind of made this nice little waterfall. It goes by all these rocks and this
train
bridge.
Looks like an S-turn now. It's the first time it's ever gone left.
And they they put some of the old things back there, some of the Indian village. But you also have this Indian chieftain animatronic who's giving his little story thing.
Cool.
I also went on the big river boat that goes around. And that's, you can really see all that stuff from there. So that was really neat. Looked awesome. I went in the line for the Guardians of the Galaxy.
You brave soul.
Yeah, I'm there. I'll tell you what, it's so funny. So I'm not going to do a drop ride like that ever. My brain did not understand that I wasn't going on the ride. I was terrified in that line. It was the weirdest thing. I was I was like, just tell myself, I'm not going on this. It's okay. I still like just felt that feeling.
Chris told me that you were telling every cast member you saw, like, just so you know, I'm not going to ride.
In my mind, they're going to like push me and strap me down.
Wait, I don't want to go on the ride.
I was like telling Chris, like, look, Chris, I'll make a scene. They get me in there by accident. Oh, I'll get up and I'll scream. I'm not going on that ride. The line was very nice. The line. Yeah, the Rocket Raccoon animatronic was really neat. That was fun. But yeah, you know, I don't think anything else is too super new. Mostly the those things. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Going to Disney is great.
Very good.
All right, so do you want to talk to me about your Xbox One X?
Yeah, so got mine last week. So let me just talk about the games I played that were enhanced. First of all, Forza 7, which is like kind of like the one they go on and on about. Sure. Right? Seeing anything in 4K 60 like that.
Yeah, but it's
cool. And it was great because the race I just happened to be on my career path was a race that started at night and like went into sunrise. So like the HDR was really like kind of popping too.
Those HDRs were popping.
It just looks so good, Mike. It's so pretty. Fired up Gears of War, and that's one of the games that has two modes you can do, where it's you prioritize visuals and resolution, or you can go to like 1080p and it's up mostly 60 frames. It does drop a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even at 1080p on the Xbox One X, it can't guarantee you 60 frames per second.
No.
Boo.
I think I'd prefer to play it in the 4K 30. It looks noticeably better.
Point. I mean,
it looks really, really good, actually. Like, real good. I did. There's a fight against a helicopter that I happened to be at in the campaign, so I was doing that.
And was it Vice President helicopter?
Unfortunately, what was that? It just looks so good. The game that has the most surprising visual upgrade to me is Halo 5. Like, it doesn't have HDR. It's just a straight upgrade to 4K.
Yeah.
But that game also already ran at 60 frames, and it still does, so it's 4K 60. And just, like, when you see the little readout on the gun itself, and you can actually read everything, like even the small text, you're like, oh, okay, there's a difference between 1080p and 4K. There's even, like, I could tell, it's hard to see it, but, like, you can kind of sense the difference even between, like, the kind of checkerboarding thing the PS4 Pro does for games like Uncharted and Horizon and something that's actually running at 4K. Like, you can tell. Yeah. You really can.
You say so. I bet I might not.
You may not.
I'm sure people can, but I cannot.
I also fired up, like, Elder Scrolls Online. Has 4K support. It's basically the equivalent of running it at ultra settings on a PC.
Remember how disappointingly boring that expansion
it
was?
It started real slow. We only played that one time.
Yeah, it was so boring.
It wasn't meant for two people.
They didn't do anything. Nothing happened. We just talked to people.
Yeah, I know. And the combat in that game is fun. Weird.
Yeah,
anyway,
I don't know who designed that.
Fired up Diablo 3. Diablo 3 looked really good.
Interesting.
Like, really good. And, Fallout 3. It's one of the backwards compatible 360 games that got a patch. And it's weird. It's like you're just playing like this weird remaster of Fallout 3. Like, I haven't played it, but I guess I watched a YouTube video comparing the original Assassin's Creed running on a 1X. And it like, that could have been like Assassin's Creed remastered. Like, that's the difference. It's an incredible jump just for being resolution.
Are you
going to
get, like, Assassin's Creed Origins on Xbox now? Or
I will eventually,
Shadow of War?
Yeah. Probably Assassin's Creed before Shadow of War.
What about Call of Duty World War II?
I'll red box and play the campaign in at night. Apparently that game looks incredible. So, I mean, I'm pretty happy with it. Just outside of the visual upgrade to games, loading times are noticeably quicker, sometimes as much as, like, half what they used to be in some tests that have been run. The system is quiet. Like, it just doesn't make noise. Because the PS4 Pro can kind of get loud.
Yeah.
This doesn't make a sound. And, even just, like, the improvements to just, like, using the Xbox dashboard are, like, nice. It's just, everything's faster. It's really good. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. I think it's a good console. It looks good. I got the Scorpio edition. It has, like, that kind of texture on and everything. It's really pretty.
Oh, the Scorpio.
Yeah, I have a Project Scorpio controller now, so that's fun. That's fun. Yeah, it's very rad. It's nice. It's just because I'm a bit of an Xbox fanboy. It's nice to be like, that's right, ours is the best one again.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm saying, like, a mode of kind of PC Switch and then, like, whatever. So, yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's hard. It's like, I'm not upset about the One X, but I'm not, like, super excited about it.
I understand.
You get it.
It is weird. It's so weird. Because, like, if you already have, if obviously it lives and dies, do you have a 4K TV or not?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, and you already have an Xbox One or an S, there is some benefit. You get the super sampling. Games load fast. But, like, is that worth you buying another $500 console? Probably not. Now, like, if you're, like, going to get a 4K TV for Christmas and you're an Xbox gamer, or even better, you don't have an Xbox, well, yeah, get the One X.
I do, like, hear a lot of people who kind of say, like, it seems like people who are excited about this are people who were Xbox 360 fans. Like, they really liked that brand and kind of switched over to PlayStation 4 because
they were looking for that reason
the Xbox
to come back.
One, yeah, and they were basically looking for any reason to come back.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, what I can say, it's a better upgrade path from an original Xbox One to this than it was from a PS4 to a Pro.
Yeah. It is weird that you don't have, like, the kind of one big Microsoft game that, like, excited show, except for Forza, I guess. But, you know, something.
Yeah, they really screwed the pooch on not having, like, some, like, day and date, like, a game that came out on November 3rd.
Like, they're kind of, I don't think the Pro didn't either, but you... Horizon wasn't too far off. Horizon was always a really good showcase for the Pro.
Well, it came after the fact. The Pro
That's what
came,
I'm saying.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Did they have anything that could be coming out in March?
No, I mean, they kind of did what Microsoft did. They talked about, like, Uncharted 4 a lot.
Yeah.
But Microsoft, they don't have much on the Horizon. Because the last E3 was pretty much just talking all about... Well, I mean, Sea of Thieves, right?
Yeah, and Crackdown 3.
Oh, Crackdown 3, yeah.
It doesn't stand a chance, unless it surprises us all. But, boy, I don't see it happening. Phil Spencer is kind of got pinned down. He's, like, talking about how they're going to commit to opening new studios and acquiring developers and
they
stuff.
Need to.
They need to, yeah.
They don't have any games coming. Hey, I beat the Destiny 2 raid.
Yeah, I was listening as you beat it. It was very odd to hear with no context. You're like, I see dog. I see whatever.
So the raid's cool because there's four encounters, and a lot of them are built around, like, there's four symbols that keep showing up through the raid. There's beast, which we call dog, chalice, blades, and sun. And it's like, there's, like, moments where you kind of have to communicate with your team. Like, the final fight, the big thing was, the boss will teleport everybody to this shadow realm. Three people need to escape it and, like, kind of do something in the regular boss room. And then three people stay in the shadow realm and do these other things. But while you're doing that, there's, like, a place with, like, one of those symbols will show up for the three people that are there, but it'll be different ones. So, like, you need to each say which symbol you see. And then in the other room, by process of elimination, they need
they
to,
shoot
like...
the fourth.
They don't... Yes, basically, yeah. So it's kind of, like, a neat... Yeah, mechanically it was really cool. There's, like, one where, like, there's, like, basically, like, two people would have to kind of run this maze, and the people inside had to, like, again, they had to communicate, like, which things they had to shoot to open up, like, the pathway kind of for them and stuff. Yeah, it was a neat theme too. Like, Vault of Glass was fun the first city, but there was, like, no context for it. And even
it
while you're
in
there, it was
all very random. You're like, why are we here?
This one, there's, like, a little cutscene when you come in. There's, like, you know, the boss is talking to you. There's things happening, in a. You know how, like, the Cabal are basically kind of Roman themed? This is, like, really taking that up a notch, mm-hmm. like, very heavily Roman stuff. Although it drives me a little crazy. That everything in there is Roman themed, but the ship's named the Leviathan, which is from the Hebrew, like, biblical, like, story. When I told my friends about this complaint, and I was told to shut the fuck up. but I was like, this doesn't make sense. But it was I really liked the raid. It was super fun. It was neat that, like obviously, you know, damaging is important, but it never felt like anything was, like, a damage check. It was like the mechanics were always a bit more
important. I
feel
that way in general. Like, we were running some strikes last night with a friend, and, like, I think back to the strike fights in the first game, and they were just such bullet sponges with no mechanics.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't feel that way. Like, every boss fight at least has, like, a trick to it that makes it feel more than just, fire everything.
Yeah, that old shebang.
Yeah, it's quite the improvement over the first game, I still feel, overall.
I think so. I know a lot of people complaining about kind of just, like, a lack of some of the RPG thing.
Well, there's that, and people are complaining about the lack of progression, but it's, like, it's because they simplified it. Like, there's not, like, a million resources that are all hard to get. There's just one, Legendary Shards, which aren't hard to get.
I do think there are things they can add. I mean, part of the problem is there are only so many guns that I'm kind of at the point where I think I've seen pretty much all of them, yeah, except for the exotics.
That's kind of like it's always been the difference between that and Borderlands, where it's a very specific set of guns. Right. Like, even the purples, there's like limited pool.
I kind of prefer if like there's some, like even World of Warcraft's like that, where it's you're not going to get everything, but it's kind of this idea of like, well, what do I have? What's the best that I got? Blah, blah. There's some that Destiny, but a lot of times it's like, ultimately, your goal is to have this loadout, and you can probably get it.
With this exotic. And,
right. Yeah, so it is a little different. But
I just laugh because it's like every week, you know, the YouTubers still do their, what should you buy from Xur this week? And it's like, just buy all of it. You can afford it. It's not hard to get.
Yeah, there's two things you can buy. Pretty much. But yeah, no, I've been having a lot of fun. And the nice thing too is now that I am at this point, and like, I am progressing slower. Like, I kind of just need to log in once a week, or a few times a week, do like the Nightfall, do the raid, and do like those weekly mission things.
Yeah, like, it's not like an overwhelming amount of stuff. I don't have to log in.
Like, when I was like raiding in World of Warcraft, I was logging in for hours a day. You know, it was a whole thing.
You had to.
Yeah, this is a lot more calm, and I think that's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
And again, even the raids are nice because there's roles, but the roles are almost more for each encounter. It's not like who's the tank and who's the healer, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else?
Mario's pretty good.
Mario's real good. I'm getting close to getting all those moons, but yeah, that's been fun. I started Divinity Original Sin 2.
Cool.
Been like, it's weird because I never really played a lot of those kind of. Like, what was that engine? Was that the Unity also? Was
it? No, Unity. I think they made their own.
No, but you know what I mean. Those, what they name all those computer RPGs everybody likes.
Oh, the Infinity Engine. That wasn't them.
Yeah, but this is clearly inspired by
it. Oh, it's a throwback to that, yeah.
I'm saying is I never really played those. If you would fully listen to me instead of half listen to me while you read your test.
I'm sorry, my wife wasn't where I am.
Well, what do you think, or she think you are? I never really played those. I played a lot, like my first real, like, kind of Western RPG was KOTOR, and it had some of that stuff. The one that this reminds me of the most out of my experiences is, like, Dragon Age 1, I guess.
Yeah, it is like the more hardcore Dragon Age 1.
Right. Like I said, if I had played like a Baldur's Gate or something, I'm sure, obviously I did compare it to that.
I tried. When they were doing those enhanced editions, I was like, okay, I'm going to play Baldur's Gate. I played it back in the day. I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, okay, I've beaten like the Dragon Age games and KOTOR. I'm ready for this.
It's like all...
It's just so hardcore.
And this is like... It's still complex and not a lot of things, but you can kind of know what you're doing and get around.
Mm-hmm.
It is nice to play another... Because, like, I've even missed how... Even, like, with Dragon Age 3 and Fallout 4, like, a lot of the deeper RPG stuff was gone. Like, one of the worst things... Like, one of the things I love is just, like, when you get dialogue options in a game for, like, certain things you have. Like, so it's like, there's some three things you can say, but my intelligence is high, so I can say this.
Yeah, and I'm a royalty, so I can say this. Yeah. Like, I love those, too.
Yeah, and it's, like, it was kind of sad that, like... A lot of, like, the modern big West RPGs have gotten rid of those things.
Well, it's either that or there's just one. Like, you just always get the intelligence one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, well, I guess I'll pick that. Like, why wouldn't you?
Right. So, yeah, it's nice to have some of those things. And it does some neat things. Like, there's party members, and they have very specific personalities and stories. But they basically, they join you. They basically tell you what their class is, but they're like, you want me to be a different class?
Like, I'm real good at a lot of things. What should I do?
It's like, It's like, oh, I'm a mage. I'm like, not anymore. Yeah, you're a rogue. Yeah. you're a rogue. Like, okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll pick up a sword.
Yeah, so that stuff's pretty... It's cool. Like, you can just make a custom character, but you can also basically just essentially pick one of the party members and make that your focal character.
I like those little... When you're creating your character, you do, like, the button where they, like, tell you their backstory.
Yeah.
Those are really well put together. Yeah. I enjoyed those.
That was nice. I picked the undead guy.
He's funny.
Yeah, the undead people are weird in this game.
Well, you have to, like, conceal yourself.
Right, yeah, because, like, yeah, I have, like, a magic mask that makes me look like the other races, but I lost it right now, so I'm just, like, wearing a hood.
You can just put a bucket on your head.
Oh, I've seen the bucket. But, yeah, I'm enjoying it. I wonder if I, like, how far I get... It's, like, the combat is all based around... The one thing I'm having difficulty right now is the combat's based around all these, like, surfaces and fire things.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I feel like just everyone's catching on fire all the time.
Yeah, everything burns. There's a lot of burning.
Like, my one hero has a spell that just sends rain down, which is nice. I guess part of the problem is, like, so many things are area of effect, and my heroes are always clumped together.
Yeah, friendly fire is always hard in these games.
Well, and you can kind of set it up, because you can, like... make basically two mini groups with your party, so you know if fights coming, you kind of like put two people over here, put yourself over there, and kind of, yeah, it is weird because it's like you have action points, and moving around takes points, but it's not like a grid-based thing or anything.
Yeah, it's like a weird range-based thing. Yeah, so. It's kind of like XCOM, almost, in a way.
Kind of.
But less of a grid.
Yeah, there's like no real grid. It's just like all distance-based. But yeah,
like Valkyria Chronicles.
I never actually played that.
Really?
I owned it. Never
got it. I have your copy.
They released that like new version of like the action game.
It's not very good.
It's awful. But yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Cool.
All right, then. I think, will that do it?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Bro Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to go to Apple Podcasts and the Google Plays and all the Stitchers and all those things. And yeah, we'll see you next week on the Exploding Bro Podcast.
Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.